Okay, I think this is working all right. I'll kind of hang around the desk here. I was just saying before what a beautiful campus you have here. It's one of the best that I've seen in the US. I've been to a lot of the camp meetings around US and Canada, and yours is up there at the top. I have been associated with Loma Linda University for over 30 years. You can tell by my accent I'm from way down under in Australia, but I studied at Loma Linda, and then I came back on two other occasions to work there and enjoyed working very much in research with the Adventist Health Study, going back into the early 80s. And then on and off. And I have always been thrilled with what the Adventist Health Studies have been able to achieve and how that they've been on the forefront, on the cutting edge of research, particularly in relation to diet and disease. And I think as Adventists, we can be very proud of what has been achieved. And I just want to say this now, and I'll most probably repeat it again, that without you and your involvement, these studies would not be possible. You make it possible. You are the, as Elder Boger said, I'm one of the numbers in the study, and I'm very glad that he has set the lead in terms of the conference in taking part in the study. And we have many conference presidents and pastors who are also involved. You may be a number, but you are an important number in our study. So what I want to share with you today is a little bit of background, first of all, and then I will talk about Adventist Health Study 1, which started in 1974. And that was just 34,000 Adventists from California who were involved in that study. And that set the benchmark for many of our findings and also the future study, the current study. We were doing groundbreaking research. Most Adventists don't realize that. But the research from Loma Linda has influenced health policy, dietary guidelines, not only here in the US, but right around the world. And I've seen that in Australia, the same thing happened. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Adventist Health Study 1, then we'll move into Adventist Health Study 2, and I'll talk a little bit more at the end about the Adventist Religion and Health Study. I was sitting in my office in Loma Linda in November 2004 when I had a call from a gentleman, Dan Buettner. And Dan was calling from Minneapolis and he said, "I want to know about the long-living Adventists. Can I come and see you?" And I made a few inquiries from him, and he was a journalist with the National Geographic magazine. And I said, "By all means, come." So within a week or so, he was there in my office and he said, "Now tell me about these long-living Adventists that you have here in Loma Linda." And I said, "What do you want to know?" Well, he had no idea about Adventists. He didn't know what we believed or what we practiced. He just heard from Professor Tom Pearls in Boston that if he wanted to investigate long-living people, he should go to Loma Linda and see the Adventists. And there he was. I spent 3 hours with him just talking and sharing with him about our beliefs and our practice and our history. And he said, "Well, what makes the people different here?" And he looked out the window and he said, "Well, it's not the atmosphere, it's not the environment." And the smog was all thick around the campus. And I said, do you want a drink of water? He says, oh, does water make the difference? I said, doesn't matter where you drink the water. It does make a difference. And he writes up actually in his book, the Blue Zones book, about me and offering him not cold water, but just water out of the tap. Anyway, what we did, he said to me, now, are these people different? We want to get some good photos. And he thought we dressed differently. We would be great candidates for National Geographic. And I said, Dan, the people here at Loma Linda are no different, except in the lifestyle that they live. The things they eat, the things they do, their faith and the Sabbath worship. And he said, well, let me meet some. So we put him in contact. I said to Dan, I said, it's not just Loma Linda. You can go anywhere in the world, throughout North America, the rest of the world, where you find a group of Adventists, you will find long, living, healthy people. Now, the article came out in the National Geographic a year later and highlighted three places where they have long-living people. Any of you remember that magazine? Yes. Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, near Italy, and Loma Linda. When that magazine came off the press in November 2005, we were aware that it was coming off the press. We were notified. I had a call from Catherine Bryant from ABC TV in New York. She was a producer. And she said, we've just found out about the National Geographic magazine. We're coming over to Loma Linda. We're coming today. I've got a team on the way. We want to take video and interview these people here at Loma Linda. It was Friday morning. I said, Catherine, you need to understand that by the time the team gets here, it may be Sabbath, Friday afternoon. We kind of shut everything down there on campus. And she said, oh, that's all right, that's all right. I said, we'll have church on Sabbath. She says, we will come to your church. And so late Friday afternoon, they did one interview with one of our long-living Adventists, and then they came to church the next day and they did all the video work, and then the next afternoon and on Sunday morning they did more interviewing, and then Monday, was it Sunday evening, it came on the television, ABC television. Once that came on, we had calls from all the other TV networks. Can we come also? Wonderful publicity, positive publicity about our health message, but also about our faith and about the Sabbath. And Dan Buettner most probably did more to let people in North America know, and indeed the world, that one of the secrets of longevity in terms of Adventists is their Sabbath. It makes a difference. So from that, we've had, BBC London come, and they spent a week at Loma Linda. We had French television. We had a TV crew from China. It went right around the world because of the participation of 34,000 Adventists in California in Adventist Health Study 1. That's why they came. And I mentioned this just yesterday. The publicity continues. And I continue, even in Australia, whenever we have a new journal article come out in the scientific press, it's usually picked up in Australia. And they're talking about the positive effects of Adventists and their lifestyle and diet. As I mentioned, we have 96,000 participants in the study, all whom completed that 50-page questionnaire. It was a bit of a challenge, I know. And we had a lot of people saying, I don't want to do this. But we're glad you did, because that provides the baseline for our study. And you're one of the smaller conferences in the US, but in terms of your participation rate, it was quite high. So I'd like to thank Daniel and Elder Bogus for the support and promotion of the study. I came here, I think it was to a pastor's meeting about 12 years ago, promoting the study. We have over 1,000 people over the age of 90 who enrolled back there 10, 12 years ago. 46 over the age of 100. Isn't that amazing? And they all completed that 50-page questionnaire. There were some people who were 30 or 40 who said, oh, it's too long for me. But here, maybe the older ones had more time. My star oldest person was Lydia Newton from Arizona. Lydia's passed on now. She ended up being, I think, the fifth oldest person in the world when she passed away. I found out that we had this lady or had this person in the study because I had one of our technicians come who was scanning in the questionnaires. He said, well, we've got a problem here. I don't know. It's not scanning in the person's age. And so when we looked at that, we had from 1900 on. So you could put, we had 19, and then you could fill in whatever year you were born in. Well, she was born in 1894, I think, something like that. And so when I found that out, I got on the phone and I called and I spoke to the lady at the other end. I said, is Lydia Newton live there? And the lady said, yes, that's my mother. I'm Marguerite. And I said, is it true that she's 110? Because that's what she was at that time. And she said, yes. I said, and she filled in that questionnaire? Yes, she filled out the questionnaire. I gave her a little bit of help, but she filled that in. And I'm 90. And my husband is 90, and she lives with us. Well, I had to go and see her. So I ended up going over to Sedona, Arizona, and seeing her on a Sabbath afternoon. What a delight. This was a lady, I mentioned the other Sabbath when I was, that she had all her marbles. You know what that means? Her mind was alert. It was, and she was a vibrant lady walking around, dressed up in her Sabbath best, and I had a wonderful time there. She had a great sense of humour. And I just want to mention some of these things because we often think it's just the diet that's important. Diet is very important. We'll talk about that. But she had this great sense of humour. And I've noted with all those older people over the age of 95 who are in our study that I've met, and I've most probably met about 12 or 13 of them, they all have a great sense of humour. Positive outlook on life. And I said to Lydia, Lydia, tell me, what's the secret of your longevity? And she whispered to me, I'm not a vegetarian. But I eat lots of fruits and vegetables and I love my oatmeal. I only have a little bit of meat. But she, I mean, that was her positive attitude. She had a hard life, actually, and a lot of stress in her life as she recounted her story. But she was there, a living testimony to an Adventist lifestyle. Her parents had become Adventists when she was just a little girl in Illinois. And I thought, well, maybe it's her genes, what she's inherited from her parents, because that does play a role too. Your genes play a role. Her father was gored and killed by a bull in his 30s. Her mother died of influenza in her 60s. So we don't know whether they would have lived longer or not. She had three siblings, a sister and two brothers. And the sister, she had four siblings. So she had three brothers and a sister. The sister died fairly young. Two of the brothers who became Adventists, one lived to 99, the other one lived to 104. The two that were not Adventists died in their 70s. They had been smoking and other things. So anyway, I celebrated her 111th birthday with her, and I celebrated her 112th birthday with her. And this photo was taken for the National Geographic. She hated this photo. It was a cold day, and her daughter put this blanket around her shoulders because they were out in the park, and they put this peg to hold it together. But that was in the National Geographic. Okay, let me move on now. Why study Seventh-day Adventists? Well, we are a unique kind of a population, particularly as it comes to lifestyle research and dietary research. Because two of the main issues or factors involved in early mortality and disease are tobacco and alcohol. Adventists, very few smoke and very few comparatively drink alcohol. But the other thing that makes a difference is there is a wide diversity and variety in diet. Now, I'm going to say something now, and you might think there's something wrong with what I say. If we just had total vegetarians in this study, it wouldn't have happened. Because we need the diversity in the diet, and you'll see that later, to be able to arrive at certain findings. Now, I'm going to be advocating that we move more and more towards a vegetarian diet. But those of you who are not vegetarian, you have contributed some valuable information as well. What we did in that 50-page questionnaire is that of the Adventist members that enrolled, and they were over the age of 30, so we didn't take younger than 30, and there was no upper limit, as you can understand. So we asked about diet, a very detailed questionnaire on diet, about faith and religion, about exercise, other lifestyle variables, and about medical conditions, illnesses that had been experienced. So we got that as baseline information. Of our 96,000, about 25,000 are African-American blacks. And this is one of the largest studies of its kind of blacks in North America. No other study has this large a population with this amount of data. We only have about 3% Hispanic, and that was because we didn't have the questionnaire in Spanish, but there are a lot of Hispanic people that would like to get involved. And the average age was about 60 years of age. So you can see we had an older population to start with. Okay, let me sort of backtrack now, and I'm going to just share some groundbreaking research from Adventist Health Study 1, which was from 1974. And this was the 34,000 people. And this is the information since about 1980. And who were the first to discover that men eating tomatoes had a 40% reduced risk of prostate cancer? Other studies have now found that. We were the first to discover that those who ate a handful of nuts several times a week reduced their risk of heart disease by 50%. And it didn't matter whether you were a vegetarian or a non-vegetarian, whether you smoked cigarettes or didn't smoke cigarettes, the fact of eating just a handful of nuts, and it doesn't really matter what kind of nuts. There are some that may be a little better than others, but it's the oils, the fats that are in the nuts that make a difference. When that research came out in the early 1990s, cardiologists right around the US said, that's impossible. You can't do that because nuts are high in fat. Well, we've now realised that there is a difference between fats. There are good fats and bad fats. We also discovered that, and once again, the first to discover this, that those who ate whole wheat bread, whole grain bread, compared to white bread, had a 40% lower risk of heart disease. And those who ate red meat, increased risk of heart disease, colon cancer, and diabetes. That's just a few of the highlights from Adventist Health Study 1. And with Adventist Health Study 2, we've now built on those findings and continue to research it further. Dr. Gary Fraser, who is the principal investigator of the study at Loma Linda, he's been there. It's getting windy out there on the side wings, isn't it? He published a paper in about the mid-1990s, which that's probably about 20 years ago now, 10 years difference. And this was comparing Adventist with Adventist, okay, in the study. Five things the person did. Never smoke, exercise, mostly a plant-based diet, eating nuts regularly, and a normal body weight made a difference of about 10 years life expectancy. Yes? It doesn't really matter. Roasted nuts are fine. You don't want a lot of extra oils on the nuts, but no, we haven't found any. Further studies have now been done on the role of nuts, with walnuts and almonds and pecans, and I think that's at Loma Linda. Others have done other studies. Even peanuts, which are not a real nut, they do make a difference as well. So obviously you don't want to eat a lot of oily, extra oil on nuts, but raw or roasted. Someone's got a question at the back there. Sorry? Salt. Once again, you need to reduce the amount of salt. So better to have unsalted nuts. Okay, so now we're moving on to Adventist Health Study 2. So that previous slide about 10 extra years was one of the reasons Dan Buettner came to feature Adventists in National Geographic. We have started out initially, and by the way, let me just interrupt myself here. This study now started in 2002, right? Some of you enrolled maybe 2003, 2004, 2005. Our enrolment went through until 2006. So we've got now basically 10 years of follow-up. It's a longitudinal study relation. As long as the funding continues. And I believe that this study will go on for another 10, 15, 20 years, continuing to bring out more and more results. But initially, we wanted to look at broad categories of diet. And so we identified five main categories of diet. Vegan, total vegetarian, no meat products, dairy, no eggs. Lacto-ovo-vegetarians, those who have milk, dairy and eggs, but no red meat in their diet. Pesco-vegetarians are those that eat fish. We found that quite a number of our population were eating fish, but no red meat. So basically the same as lacto-ovo-vegetarians, but included fish. And then we had semi-vegetarians. The semi-vegetarians are those who ate meat more than once a month, but less than once a week. So not eating red meat very much at all. And then the non-vegetarians. Now, the non-vegetarians are not exactly like non-vegetarians in the US population. Our Adventist non-vegetarians actually eat less red meat on average compared to the general population. So this is the numbers that we have here, that we have about 8.5% who are vegan, 31% who are lacto-ovo-vegetarian, 10% of our population who are pesco, and 5% who are semi-vegetarian, and 45% who are non-vegetarian. And it's because of this diversity in diet that we're able to look at these broad categories and then see what kind of findings we have. And some of the findings may interest you a little bit. One of the things we've lately looked at is duration of diet. How long have you been eating a particular diet? And you can see here the red bar is the non-vegetarian. The yellow is the lacto-ovo. The next one is the semi. The green is the vegan and the blue is the pesco. And you can see the numbers above there relate to the average duration of that diet, how long those people have been following that. And that's one of the things we're going to be looking at more closely in the coming months and years. Does the length of time that you're on a diet make a difference, or even a short time, does that make a difference? What we've discovered, and this is kind of makes a bit of sense here, that non-vegetarians generally, this is, we're looking at Adventists now, our population, generally consume the highest amount of meat, including fish, eggs and dairy products, but also more added fats, sweets, snacks and beverages than vegetarians. So the non-vegetarians are different not only in meat eating but other things. Vegans, looking at the other spectrums, end of the spectrum, greater amounts of all plant foods, smaller amounts of added fats, sweets and soft drinks, and also drink more water than non-vegetarians. So now I'm going to show you a chart that looks very, very busy, but I just want you to get the sort of broad picture here. If you see that line down the middle there, which is on 1.00, that represents non-vegetarian. So in this analysis, we standardized the non-vegetarians at 1 and then compared the other dietary groups to the non-vegetarians. So anything to the right of that line represents an increased consumption of those different kinds of foods. Anything on the left-hand side of that line indicates a lower consumption of foods. So you can see particularly, just look at the green there, which are the vegans. Much higher for avocado, and I'll just pick out down the bottom there, dried fruit. All the vegetarian groups, except for perhaps semi-vegetarian, more than the non-vegetarian. So quite a difference in the diet. This is another one looking at animal protein foods. So you're looking here at the various meats and dairy and eggs. And here the graph is on the other side. So anything on to the left here means much lower consumption. So once again, you can see particularly for the vegans and the lacto-ovo-vegetarians, they are much, much less in terms of these animal products. Our research now that we're starting to look at is looking at some of these particular food groups and also some of the various nutrients. Vegetarians in our study, and this is all vegetarians, whether pesco, vegan, lacto, ovo, particularly not so much semi-vegetarian, all have lower risk factors for disease, lower mortality, higher life expectancy, and less disease events. And we are currently looking mainly at cancers, okay, because we're funded by the National Cancer Institute. And we're looking particularly at colon, breast, and prostate cancer. These are three cancers that are least understood in terms of the factors involved for their cause. So let's have a look here. So we're looking now at risk factors for disease. Weight, we're looking at weight here and comparing the various vegetarian groups to the non-vegetarian, which is the red. So you can see here that the average female and the average male, and this is non-blacks here that we're looking at, here that the vegans and the other vegetarians are lower than the non-vegetarians in terms of body weight. In fact, what is it, about 20 or more pound difference in weight? We find the same kind of pattern in the blacks. Once again, 20 or more pound difference from the vegetarians. We know that weight is a risk factor for a number of diseases. Looking at hypertension, high blood pressure, a similar pattern here, and we're looking at vegans, lacto, ovo, and pesco, the two greens and the yellow compared to the red, the non-vegetarian. And you can see here, blood pressure, once again, a major risk factor, is much lower in these groups. In terms of high cholesterol levels, once again, the similar kind of pattern, particularly for the vegan and for the lacto-ovo-vegetarians, lower blood pressures. And then in terms of diabetes, this is where people had reported diabetes, and we looked at the dietary lifestyle and compared. So you can see this step up of increased risk as you go more towards a non-vegetarian diet. We've published a number of papers already on this particular effect here. Mean fasting insulin levels, this is preliminary data that hadn't been published yet, but what we did as part of our study, not only did we do that 50-page questionnaire, but we randomly selected over 1,000 Adventists who were representative of that group right across the US and Canada. And we went to, they were selected by age and gender and race and by region so that they were representative. We went and conducted clinics and did biometrics and took blood and so on. So we have that information on those 1,000 that closely represents the rest of our population. And so here the insulin levels are much lower once again in the vegans. What we're currently looking at, as I mentioned before, is that the diet is very important, particularly the effects of tomatoes, various meat and meat products, the N3 fatty acids. This is the omega-3 fatty acids. Well, I'll come to that and explain that a little bit more. Soy foods, the role of soy and soybeans, and also the connection between diet, the gut microbes, which we call the microbiome, and health, because we feel that there's some kind of a relationship there as well. Ah, good question, and I'm going to come to that shortly. Yes. Organic and GMO? Not at this stage. I don't think we have a sufficient detail on that at this stage. It's most probably something that will be included in one of these questionnaires that get mailed out to you to sort of confirm where your sources of diet come from. Okay, let's look just at overall mortality. And this is an important thing to take into account, that in Adventist Health Study 2, the vegetarians are compared to a low-meat non-vegetarian reference group. On average, the non-vegetarians in our study consume only about 49 grams per day of meat. So it is a lower risk population. So while you see these results comparing non-vegetarians and vegetarians, you can imagine that when we compare Adventist vegetarians with US non-vegetarians, there's likely to be a more marked difference. This paper was published by one of our researchers in the study, Dr. Orlick, and here you can see from all causes, this is all causes of death in our population, compared to the red, the non-vegetarian, all the other groups are lower. And the little star asterisk at the top of the green, the vegan, means that is very significant. That is something, and you'll see that in other slides where I have that, it means that it's very significant. We have a lot of confidence that that is really true. So overall, vegetarians have, compared to non-vegetarians in our study, a 15% lower risk of mortality, of dying. Basically, that means you live longer. And the good news is, from other things that we've studied, is that those are generally healthier years of life as well. Looking at cancers, so this is all cancers now, and this is, once again, preliminary data, and this is where we're not comparing Adventists with Adventists in our study. We're actually comparing all of Adventists in our study, the 96,000 vegetarians and non-vegetarians, with a sample of the US population, a very good sample of the US population. So comparing all Adventists in our study with the national sample here. And you can see here, the red here, in this case, is all cancers. Okay? So about 35% decreased risk of all cancers. The purple is breast cancer. So breast cancer is lower. The yellow is colon cancer. Once again, lower, not as low as some of the others. The pink one in the middle, that is rectal cancer. Usually we combine those together, colon and rectal cancer together, but they are different and different causes and factors involved. The blue there in the middle is endometrial cancer, which is we aren't particularly looking at that in detail. Then the green is lung cancer. And this takes into account, with both populations, eliminating the factor of smoking. So we, in our analysis, we control for smoking. So it's as if no one smokes. There is still a huge difference. So you can see about 50% lower risk for Adventists for lung cancer, even though we eliminate the smoking factor. Prostate cancer, almost the same as the general population. And then pancreas cancer, almost up there. But you can see a number of these main cancers much lower in the whole of the Adventist population. Now we're looking here at all cancers by particular diets in our study. And you can see the green next to the red is putting all the vegetarian groups together. And so in terms of all cancers, vegetarians on a whole have a significantly lower risk. But particularly it's the vegans who have slightly lower risk. Now we're looking particularly at colorectal cancers, and here comparing the non-vegetarians in our study with all the vegetarians. And you can see here it's more than 20% lower risk of colorectal cancer amongst the vegetarian. This is by particular diet, so now breaking it out and looking at the semi, the pesco, lacto-ovo and the vegan. And you can see here the pesco has the lowest rate, down quite a bit lower, even lower than the vegan and lower than the lacto-ovo vegetarian. So we think that there is something here amongst those who include fish in their diet, which may... When we look at just the processed meats, processed red meats here, and the green is those who never eat processed or rarely eat, basically it's never eat processed red meats, and the red is those who have less than once a week. So not very much, more than once a month, but less than once a week. Those who eat the processed red meat have four times the risk of colorectal cancer compared to those who don't eat it. And here we're eliminating the effect of poultry. So we're basically taking people that don't eat any poultry products, but the difference is the processed red meat. So in terms of vegetarians, overall, just the big picture here, 30% lower risk comparing to non-vegetarians in our study. Looking at prostate cancer, there are a number of factors involved in prostate cancer, as it is with other diseases. And maybe I should just mention here, we are not immune from getting cancers. There are various factors that cause cancers. And I've had people kind of wringing their hands and their heart saying, I've been a vegetarian all my life, but this has happened. There are other factors beyond control that may be a causal in these cancers. But what we can say is that if you follow the lifestyle and the diet, your risk is going to be lower. And that's what the message we have. So we looked at these other factors as well, and we'll be continuing to look at that. So in our population, since we started the study, we've had over 1,100 who have reported a new prostate cancer. And of course, many don't die of prostate cancer. They go on to survive, but they have prostate cancer. We looked also at the advanced or progressive prostate cancers, and also particularly amongst blacks, because black men have higher rates nationally and also in our study, higher rates of prostate cancer. So what are the factors there involved in that? So here we're looking at just vegans, and the yellow there is the black. The green next to the red is the... is all vegans, then the yellow is just the black, and then the green on the far right here is the whites in the study, the vegans. And you can see here that as a group, that vegans have much lower risk than those who are non-vegetarians. There wasn't a lot of difference, actually, between the lacto-ovo and the semi-vegetarian. In this group. But overall, what we can say that vegans have a 35% lower risk of prostate cancer. Now, this is where the tomatoes come in, or as in my country, we say tomatoes. So cooked tomatoes do make a difference. And all tomatoes make a difference, but the greatest effect is that those that are cooked. You can see here all prostate cancer, 17% lower risk, and for the advanced aggressive kind of prostate cancer, 30% lower risk. Those who consume tomatoes several times a week, the cooked tomatoes. Another factor we're looking at is alpha-linolenic acid, or the N3 omega fats, and that is also associated with lower risk. And from dietary sources, vegetarian dietary sources, particularly flax and walnuts and other nuts, is where you can get this alpha-linolenic acid. So you can see here all cases 16% lower, and for blacks who eat these kind of foods, a 30% lower risk. So some food are making a difference and can explain some of that. Dairy or calcium are associated with a higher risk for prostate cancer. That is not true for colorectal cancer. Dairy reduces the risk, but here for prostate cancer, dairy or calcium increases the risk. And that basically, the last line there, fits the picture of a vegan diet. And that may explain a lot of why the vegans are much lower. Let's look at breast cancer. We're continuing to do more research on this, and there'll be a number of papers published in the next 12 months relating to this. So this is looking at all female breast cancers. We do look at premenopausal, postmenopausal, and aggressive types of breast cancer, and so on. But you can see here just the big broad picture is vegans once again much lower than the non-vegetarians. You see the yellow there, which is higher, the semi-vegetarian. We have very few semi-vegetarians, about 5,000 in our population, and it may be because we have lower numbers in that group. So we don't take too much notice of that, but it's those, particularly with the asterisk there, the vegan. Now let me come to the conclusions here. The health benefits of a vegetarian diet are real. These conclusions are from Dr. Fraser. He presented just a few weeks ago at a diet conference in Germany, and he prepared these slides that he shared with me. And so what we want to say, the health benefits of a vegetarian diet are real. And there is a consistency between the risk factors. So we talked about the risk factors about weight, cholesterol, hypertension, diabetes, and so on, and disease and mortality. So there is an association between those. Some of the benefits appear to be of fairly large magnitude, so they do make a real difference. Vegans in Adventist Health Study 2 are very different from non-vegetarians and even from other vegetarians. And so you see there some of the earlier slides, the different consumption patterns. And one of the things that Dr. Fraser is famous for, and he's recognised as one of the best nutrition epidemiologists in the country and indeed the world, in terms of measuring diet. And one of the things that I think we can be very proud of in our study, it's one of the largest in the world, it's one of the best conducted in the world, and it is one of the studies that has the most detail on diet. And other professors and researchers at universities around the US and abroad are quite envious of a population group. Dr. Ralph Paffenberger, who's now at Stanford University, said, "Adventists are a national treasure because they provide a wealth of information about diet and lifestyle that wouldn't be available from any other group. And so we can make a contribution to understanding patterns of disease and risk factors better than any other kind of group that's being studied in the US. That's in terms of diet. We can't do that in terms of alcohol because we have very few who drink alcohol. But we can in terms of diet. And anyway, Dr. Fraser said we need to have a better definition of vegetarian. Okay, so these are the things that we've determined so far, and we'll be continuing to look at more detail at the various nutrient groups. We'll be looking at other diseases as well. Lower body weight, lower blood pressure, less diabetes, better blood lipids, lower cholesterols, lower fasting insulin levels, lower CRP, C-reactive protein, which is also another risk factor, particularly for heart disease and for diabetes. And vegans, a bit of a question, but perhaps a lower levels of immunoglobulin factor. Okay, continuing on, less cancer by 10%. So this is vegetarians compared to non-vegetarians in our study. But see there, all US Adventists have 30% less cancer than the general population. Less colorectal cancer by 20%. Processed meats increase the risk. Calcium and dairy appear to be with a lower risk for colorectal cancer. Vegans, less prostate cancer by 35%. Cooked tomatoes, alpha-linolenic acid, or the N3 fatty acids, lower the risk. Dairy increases the risk of prostate. Soy has got a question mark. We're not sure whether the effect is actually real, that it actually reduces prostate cancer. We believe it does, but we need to do a little bit more analysis on that. So soy may be another factor lowering the risk. Vegans possibly less breast cancer. Well, the slide showed that they did. Dr. Fraser is being a little careful and cautious, and he is. He's always very careful and cautious in the conclusions he comes to. And he says it may be the role of soy, and particularly soybeans, in place of dairy that does make a difference there. 50% less risk of heart attack and fatal heart disease. 50% lower. Red meat increases the risk. Nuts decrease the risk. Okay, lower mortality, greater longevity for 3 or more years. Notice that the health benefits that we've looked at just now are due not only to reduction in animal products, but also increased plant foods. So the message I give to non-Adventists, to non-vegetarians, increase the amount of plant food in your diet. Even if you continue to eat meat, increase the amount of plant food, particularly vegetables and legumes and nuts. They do make a difference. Once again, this is somewhat complex. For instance, dairy associated with reduced rectal cancer, but increased risk of prostate cancer. We'll be looking at that in more detail. And there's also the role of the duration, how long you've been on a particular diet. So Dr. Fraser, in an attempt to come up with a healthy vegetarian lifestyle, suggests that no meats in the diet in terms of defining. And here he's presented this to a general group, not Adventists, but a general group in Germany. Not too clear about the role of fish. Dairy and eggs, he says, optionally none. but otherwise only small to moderate amounts, 2 to 3 times a week. Avoid sodas or fruits in heavy syrup, so reduce the sugars in the diet. Avoid heavily processed plant foods. We've all known about that, the white flour, the white rice and so on. And also solid fats. And only occasional. Each once a week or less, cakes and pies and candy bars. So you don't need to throw all of them out forever, just occasionally. In terms of the do's, load your plate with vegetables, salads, nuts and legumes. Most probably apart from the nuts, you can eat as much of those others as possible. You've got to watch the calories on the nuts. If you're eating nuts all day long and that, you know, you're eating a lot of calories. 2 to 3 servings of fruit per day. Adventists, and I find this in other studies I've done in Australia, that it's easy to eat fruits. And I get some kids who are eating, you know, 5 or 6 serves of fruit a day, but they are high in the various sugars, so you've got to watch those. But they are beneficial and positive in terms of the diet. Natural, raw or cooked is best for vegetables or fruit. So some people say, you know, should have uncooked or natural foods, but we've seen in the case of tomatoes that you get more benefit because of the lycopenes that are released when they're cooked. Variety is good, so combinations of different is important. Don't use a lot of oil in frying, okay? And ensure adequate protein from a combination of whole grains, legumes, especially soybeans and nuts. And vegans, this is coming from Dr. Fraser, should supplement with B12. Okay, so these are the current results in terms of diet. Once again, on the cutting edge, a lot of exciting papers that are going to be published in the next year or so. And when they hit the press, the media will pick them up and you will see stories and results portrayed in media, your newspapers, on television. And even if you're not a part of the study and you're an Adventist, you say, that is my study. That's finding out these results. So the ongoing success of this study depends upon your continued involvement. We're not recruiting anyone else at this stage. That may come a little further down the track. But those who are currently in the study, or those of you who have family members in the study, or know of people in your church who are in the study, I want you to get the message through to them that the most important thing is to hang in there, be a part of the study, because without you, we cannot do this. One of the real challenges that we have with our study is that we lose track of people. Because as people get older, and I'm an example of this, you move address. You move to another location, perhaps when you retire. And if we don't know about that, we often can't send out information to you. So it's important to let us know, and you can do this on our website or by telephone or by letter, to let us know your current address and situation. Let me just mention a little bit about the religion study. This is a sub-study where we had 11,000 of our 96,000, and these were randomly selected. So is anyone involved in the religion study here? Okay, a couple. Right, so not everyone had the chance to get involved because we didn't have sufficient funds to be able to survey everyone. So we randomly selected 11,000 who filled out an additional 20-page questionnaire with a lot of detail on spiritual and religious factors, social factors, psychosocial factors. And we are currently, this started about 4 or 5 years after the main study, so we're still looking at that. But one of the things I just want to point out here is that we looked at quality of life. So this is not longevity. We're looking at quality of life, okay? Well-being, how you experience that throughout the different years. And we compared Adventists to the US norms, what the normal situation is in the US. And the trend, Adventists report better quality of life, mental health and physical health, than the US population. The trend is particularly pronounced for mental health in older age groups. So let's have a look at that. Oh, okay, this is about the Sabbath, and there's many other questions about the Sabbath. Yesterday, about those who view Sabbath as a joy and delight and the relationship with God and with the church family, experience a better quality of life than those who do keep Sabbath out of compulsion because the commandments say so. There'll be more that'll be coming out on that. But here, this is perceived physical health. So you can see starting off down the bottom, 35 years of age up to 74 and older, what happens, our physical health as we go through life deteriorates. But look at these, if you can see these three lines. The lower line is the US norm. That's the blue. The green in the middle there, basically in the middle, is for Black Adventists in our study, and the orange on the upper part is for white Adventists in our study. So you can see at all ages, basically, that Adventists, Black as well as non-Black, experience a better physical health, well-being. Now, this is perceived mental health. And you can see here, as you go through life, it generally increases. So the older you get, the more satisfied you are with your emotional health. But notice here that the Blacks do better than the white Adventists. Now, why is that? I think, and we need to look at this much closer, I think it's most probably a lot to do with their social cohesion, their church groups, the relationships that they have with others in their group. Yes? Okay, thank you. So there you see, I hope you heard that that research in the Washington, D.C. area confirmed that Blacks who are looked after by family in their older age compared to the whites, it does make a difference. So I think the social factors. So it's not only diet that is important. There are many other factors in terms of lifestyle, emotional factors, faith and religious factors that do make a difference. So I just want to thank you once again for your participation. I'm happy to answer a few more questions. But here is our website, AdventistHealthStudy.org. AdventistHealthStudy.org. If you go there, you'll find all the 300, 400 scientific papers that have been published on Adventist health studies over the last 60 years. You'll find various newsletters and reports. You'll find PowerPoint programs and lots of other information. So we try to keep that up to date as much as possible. Yes. On weight?
There's an issue about apple versus pear and the disease risk for that. The things I've been hearing lately is waist circumference. So if you're overweight but your waist circumference is in a reasonable place, have you factored that in, or pear shape versus that shape?
I don't know that we have. I just make a point here that in all the analysis that we do, we control for other factors. So if we're looking at, for instance, at the role of dairy in prostate cancer, we're controlling for all the other known factors that may be related to prostate cancer. So we can see what is the true difference with dairy. And I think the point you make is very good here, that it's the weight around the waist, and don't look at me here, but that most probably puts people at a higher risk than weights down lower on the hips. So, but we do have that measure in our study. We do have waist circumference. And I think as our study goes on, and we get more and more detail in terms of outcomes, we'll be able to look at sort of closer at some of these other factors. But a very good point. Yes?
I'm confused about the role of soy in breast cancer.
Right. What's confusing? The role of soy. There's been a lot in the press over the last most probably 10, 15 years or more, 20 years possibly, that there are some who have said soy reduces the risk of breast cancers. Other groups said it increases the risk of breast cancer. And this is one of the reasons why Adventist Health Study 2 was funded by the National Cancer Institute, and we've received millions and millions of dollars for this research. By the way, all the research done at Loma Linda on Adventist lifestyle, this kind of study, has been provided by the US government or US government bodies. And one of the things that enabled us to get the funding is because we said we want to particularly look at the role of soy in the diet. And we have the most detailed database on such a large group of people than anywhere else in the world. And we are going to be able to look at this much closer. We're looking at preliminary analysis now in terms of the role of soy. But it appears, what Dr. Fraser said, is those that have soy beans in their diet, women, reduces their risk of breast cancer. Yes.
When I was looking at your presentation, you had looking at insulin levels and looking at some other blood lipid levels, looking at different factors. What's the sampling mechanism for that?
Okay. This goes back to the random sample of 1,000 Adventists who are closely matched to the whole of the population. So using statistical methods, we selected people in right throughout the country by region, by race, by gender, by age. We matched them to the overall population. And they're the ones that provided the samples of blood. So it was detailed blood analysis, a lot more than I've mentioned now. And other biometric measures as well. So what we know is that our group of that 1,000 randomly selected are very, very closely correlated to the experience of our whole group. Okay, yes. Sorry, I didn't.
How much salt intake?
Salt intake. Yeah, we should limit our salt intake. Not added salt. My wife and I, we've been here in the States now. We've lived in the States for more than 10 years, on and off. The last just week, we've been in the US, and because we're moving from place to place, we're eating at hotels. And we're just amazed at how salty the diet is. It's very salty, more so than Australia. So, yeah, no added salt. So don't get salted nuts. Don't add salt. A lot of the processed food products that you have, they have added salt, but reduce the amount of salt. Yes? Right. Right.
Then there's negative with either one of those factors, and I don't know about that, and that's the aggressive early occurring.
Right. Right, and that's a very good point that you make. Dr. Fraser and his colleagues at Loma Linda are currently looking at that, and it may be possibly that the type of cancer that some cancers, the early aggressive type of breast cancer is different from some of the other breast cancers. They may be affected more than, in other words, the soy may have a role in that, but not in some of the others. So at the moment, we are looking at that, or the team are looking at that in more detail, and I think there will be a paper that is published later this year. Okay. Yes.
Amount of protein.
I'm not a nutritionist. I think generally the dietary guidelines from the US are adequate. But with vegetarians, if you've got a mix of the legumes and whole grains and nuts, you're getting adequate protein. There's not a problem with that. Yes. So. Yeah, I think that's the recommendations from the dietary guidelines as well. In terms of, I just want to say this again here, important. You will find all kinds of reports that will come out on websites, and I'm not discounting what you've just said here, but just be careful. It's very easy to just pick on one particular study. I just want to say that in terms of soy consumption and the detailed analysis and measurement of soy in the diet, amongst our 96,000, there is no longitudinal study. That's a study that continues over time. There is no other longitudinal study in the world that matches the Adventist Health Study. We've got more detail. And this information will be coming out as time progresses. Thank you again for your support, and it's been a privilege to be here. God bless each one of you.
Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Let's have a special prayer for Terry as he continues to minister.